temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned, Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Now, people who know me well know I'm a pretty basic guy. I'm a Christian, a conservative, and a Republican, in that order.
That's conservatism in a nutshell, that we are preserving the traditions of human society that, though tainted by sin, at least we're failing in opposition to those moral standards.
Look, Martin Luther King Jr. in the Civil Rights Movement was all about bringing the faith into the public square.
The Christian lives not by the words of the pastor, but by the words of God. And the pastor, if he's not speaking the words of God, well, who knows what he's doing? But he's not being a pastor of Jesus. He's not serving his church.
Northern Illinois Chainsaw Drivers, love, issues, etc.
There are some events that you simply have to know a little history to understand in their context. They can't be pulled away from their history. A recent failed coup attempt in Turkey is one of those. How has Turkey been historically, at least in recent history, very different from other states where Islam holds a political majority? And is that secular nature of Turkey, is it in jeopardy? If Tayyip Erdogan, the current president, remains in power, there are those who tried to overthrow him, a failed attempt at overthrowing his regime, who now sit in prisons. And at least they thought they were trying to prevent the Islamization of Turkey. We're going to be talking about that and a truck attack in Nice, France, here in the first half hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Monday afternoon, July the 18th. Dr. John Warwick Montgomery will be our guest for the first half hour. We'll talk about those two events in the geopolitical world. Dr. Ken Sherb joins us after that, part 32 of our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation today, Luther as pastor. Then we'll talk about stewardship myths with Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for LCMS Stewardship. You can join us for the next 2 hours with your questions or your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a failed coup attempt in Turkey and a truck attack in Nice, France, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, Distinguished Research Professor of Philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, French advocate, barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the Bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ, Center, and Circumference. Dr. Montgomery, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
If Tayyip Erdogan, the president there in Turkey, if he remains in power, do you have confidence that Turkey remains an Islamic yet secular state?
Well, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. The situation is that he has been a very mild Muslim. He has not forced Islam into the governmental structures of Turkey, and the problem is that for years the army has preserved civil liberties in Turkey and has insisted that the government be pro-Western and what we would consider liberal in its approach to political and social problems. It's the army that has really maintained that kind of thing, and to the army's perfect misery, at an election not too long ago, the president who was elected is Islamic and is a representative of an Islamic party. So The Army has been furious over this for a very long time, and the strange thing is that they hadn't tried a coup earlier. The coup that they attempted was obviously botched, and it's very difficult to determine what the end result of all this is. Years ago, I went to a particular location in Turkey because a Christian missionary had been jailed for distributing literature. And the stuff that he distributed was mild. It wasn't in any way inflammatory. It certainly wasn't criticizing Islam as such. A lot of the stuff came from Campus Crusade. But he was jailed. I flew to Turkey, to Izmir, and near there I had contact with the judges who were handling the appeals, the appeal of this case. And I said to those judges, have you ever read the European Convention on Human Rights? Turkey has ratified that convention, and that convention guarantees the right to make religious choices. It was obvious from their faces that they hadn't read the thing. And I said, listen, if you don't release this fellow, this is going to go to Strasbourg, and I'm going to stick it to Turkey good and hard, and it's going to be an embarrassment, and I'm going to name every one of you as defendants in this case. Well, the result of this was that the gentleman was released, all right? But this shows the strange thing in Turkey. Technically, Turkey has ratified the European Convention on Human Rights. Technically, all of those rights of religious freedom and the rest of it, civil liberties, are present in Turkey. But in reality, 97% at least of the populace are committed to a very, very conservative Islam. And therefore, this is a country that really is a potential explosion. The reason why the West has been so positive toward Turkey is because of its extreme importance militarily. In the years when the USSR existed, of course, Turkey was right on the border of one of the socialist republics. So this is a very sensitive situation, and nobody can predict how it's going to go. I would imagine that the military are going, if they aren't totally repressed, are going to try this again.
Give us a little history lesson, if you would, how it is that Turkey became somewhat unique in the Islamic world.
Yes, this was because of Ataturk, who created modern Turkey back in the 1920s. Ataturk was presumably of Muslim background, but he desperately wanted Turkey to become modern and Western. And among other things, he eliminated the Arabic alphabet and insisted that in Turkey the alphabet be a Western Roman alphabet. And the idea of that was, of course, that it would make it much, much easier for communication between Turkey and Western Europe. And he removed Islam from political power. He eliminated the kind of Ottoman control over life that had existed previously. And this was a staggering achievement. It's hard to know exactly where he was personally in his religious position, but there's no doubt about the fact that the result of this was that Turkey was officially moved to the status of a secular state. There is no state religion in Turkey, and theoretically, everything should be very much like it is in Western Europe. The trouble is that the populace never changed in its perspective.
Turkey has also, you mentioned before, its military significance. It has been a member of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, NATO, since 1952, and just in terms of its geography is extremely important to just about everyone in the world. Talk a bit about that, if you would.
Oh, yes. Well, for this reason, the U.S. and Western European countries have not tried to interfere with the tensions that have existed in Turkey. They have wanted to have Turkey as a vital ally. On the one hand, I suppose this is a good thing, but on the other, it's meant that where there are these tendencies toward Islamization in Turkey, this isn't touched at all by Western peoples. When I did Ararat exploration in eastern Turkey, it was very interesting that when I went to Ankara, I spent weeks getting permissions to climb Mount Ararat. And then in eastern Turkey, there were the problems of the Kurds, which has caused a tremendous difficulty within the Turkish scene. I had contact with these people and with the Turks. The sad thing is that there has never been the kind of thoroughgoing Christian missionary work in Turkey that could have transformed the country. The problems that exist right now are due to the fact that the populace is living two generations behind the official nature of the country.
There have been many detained after this coup, at least according to reports. 7,500 people detained across the country, including 100 police, over 6,000 soldiers, judges, prosecutors, public workers.
Yes, over 2,000 judges, for goodness sake. And the horrifying part about this is that it looks like, as a result of this, that the government in power is going to clamp down on civil liberties all the way around. You don't imprison judges. The judges, for goodness sake, are not the ones who caused the coup. What the government apparently thinks is that if they control the judges, then they will be able to do anything that they want. So, the whole thing is chaos and bedlam. And in a way, it probably would have been better for all concerned if the coup had come about successfully.
If this one been successful, or a future one is, and there is essentially a military government there in Turkey, is that any better?
Well, no, perhaps not. But the military have always been pro-West, pro-civil liberties, anti-state religion, anti-Muslim control over the country. It seems strange, but the military have been much more open to the kind of Western operations that go on elsewhere than the government.
The odd thing in all of this, Dr. Montgomery, before we go to the break, is that for all the everything we've said here about Turkey, it really does still remain a bright spot in the Muslim world, doesn't it?
Well, it does, in the sense that it's the only Muslim nation that is a secular state, that actually bothers other Muslim countries immensely, because Islam is utterly convinced that if you are a consistent Muslim, then you're going to want a Muslim state, and you're going to want Sharia law, and you're going to want the kind of limitation on religious liberties that has been characteristic of Islam through its history.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is our guest. When we come back from this break, we're going to take up the subject of a truck attack in Nice, France. It is not connected directly to any terrorist group, and it does raise the question of why France is a target for this kind of violence. We'll answer that question with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on this Monday afternoon, July the 18th, on the other side of the break. He's a distinguished research professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin, a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, and a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States. Stay tuned.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, talking with Dr. John Warwick Montgomery, turning to the subject of a truck attack in Nice, France. Dr. Montgomery is author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ as Center and Circumference. He joins us live from Strasbourg, France, where, Dr. Montgomery, you have just completed another summer of the annual Academy, International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights. Tell us about it.
Well, it was a great success, as always. We had 21 students, which is one more than we should officially take, and, of course, four professors, including Craig Parton, who appears on Issues Etc. frequently, and myself. We had distinguished Christian lawyer from Paris who delivered a special lecture on Pontius Pilate and the relationship between Roman law and what you find in the New Testament, etc., etc. The students were absolutely delighted. That, though, is really not news, because every year that program has produced exactly the same kind of results and is appreciated in the same way.
Folks, you can find out more about the 2017 International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Montgomery, let's talk about the truck attack in Nice, France, especially during the weekend of Bastille Day. How did that story get told there in France?
It was, of course, a horror, because Nice is one of the major vacation sites in France on the Côte d'Azur, the Riviera, and no one had any thought that anything like that would be taking place, the death toll was very, very heavy, and the amazing thing about this is that the fellow who did this was a recent extremist. He was not somebody who had been known to the police or in the files at all. He was a person with a family, with children, and he radicalized out of the blue, and then went ahead and managed this. He obviously had some associates, and there are a couple of people who are already being questioned closely about all of this. But it was a unique kind of situation, and it seems to me it's got to be treated that way.
This is not the first attack on French soil that has some connection, and in some cases, some very strong connections to radical Islamic terrorism. Why is France?
That's perfectly right. That's perfectly right. Last year, of course, there were the attacks in Paris. The interesting thing is that in every one of these cases, either the attack is motivated by Islamic extremist organizations, or if the attack isn't, it's immediately accepted by those organizations. That is to say, every one of these attacks is Islamic in background or connections or justification.
Why is France a particular target for radical Islam?
Well, the reason is that France has been carrying out the most effective attacks on terrorist bases in Syria and in the Near East in general. The French military and the French Air Force have virtually eliminated many of the ISIS training centers in the Near East, and therefore France is probably first on the list of potential targets for recrimination.
Give us a history of Islam in France.
Well, the reason why there are a lot of people of Islamic background in France is that the French colonial empire focused on North Africa. So countries like Tunisia, Algeria, and the like were within the French cultural spread. And Algeria, for example, was actually a French province. So when de Gaulle decided that France had better get out of all of this, the end result was that those countries, when they went independent, still had a very, very strong connection with France. And there were even special concessions for Algerians, I use that as an example, for Algerians to obtain French citizenship with less difficulty than people from other areas. So there are more North African Muslims in France than there would be in other countries.
France has also, for cultural reasons, been less willing to have a kind of Islam immigrants remain unassimilated, a burqa ban several years ago. Talk about those things, if you would, Dr. Montgomery.
Well, yes, that's true. You see, France has a very high, places a very high value on its cultural tradition, on its language, and on what French civilization has represented over the centuries. And therefore, it insists that people coming into France assimilate. One example of this is that to obtain French citizenship, there is a language examination. If a person cannot handle French, the person is not going to get citizenship here. This is very interesting in comparison, let's say, to the United States or the United Kingdom, where the idea is that you don't pay any attention to that, you don't worry about it. But in France, there have been much stronger efforts to assimilate the people who are coming in from other areas. But this has not resulted in the kind of assimilation that everyone wanted to have take place. Because when a member of the family obtains French citizenship or the right to remain here, that also gives the right for his family to come in. And in the low-income suburbs of major French cities, there are staggering numbers of Islamic families where the young people have not gotten jobs or haven't cared to get jobs and haven't gotten the kind of decent education that they should, and that creates a social atmosphere in which it's very easy for terrorism to arise. And you add to this terrorist mosques that have imams that are trying to promote Islam over against French civilization. The situation is such that it's required the French government to clamp down to a far greater extent than would be the case in the United States. There have been Islamic leaders who've simply been thrown out of France. That would be very difficult to achieve in the United States, where there are all sorts of personal protections on the basis of the First 10 Amendments to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. There isn't such a thing here in France, and so the government has come down heavily on that kind of thing. But even with that, you have the possibility of the kind of thing that took place in Nice.
What is kind of the, in general terms, a solution? Some would say, well, France should close its borders to this kind of immigration and attempt to solve the problem that way. How would you respond to that?
Well, at the Evangelical Theological Society last year, meeting with the Evangelical Philosophical Society, I presented a paper in which I offered a kind of questionnaire and a method of examining potential immigrants, potential refugees and the like, to determine, in terms of their background, the likelihood that they would be associated with terrorist activity. And it seems to me that the tighter the controls on immigration, the better. Now, that was not 100% received by my audience. I had people saying, listen, you've got to open the borders in order for evangelism to take place so that these people can be evangelized. Listen, I am entirely in favor of evangelism, preach the gospel to every creature, but you don't do this at the cost of human lives. The fact of the matter is that just as in the case of abortion and other violations of the right to life, you've got to be sure that you don't allow a situation in which people can be eliminated. If they can be killed readily, there isn't going to be any evangelism for them anyway. So it seems to me that the idea is to have tighter controls on immigration, right, and not to be politically correct and say, well, we mustn't be particularly conversant with the Islamic situation because that would make it seem as if we're against Islam and the like. Listen, if the statistics indicate that the vast majority of terrorist activity in our time, in all countries of the world, is connected with Islam, all right, then just on a statistical basis, we should come down much harder on those people who are connected with Islam in order to reduce the terrorist results.
Dr. John Warwick Montgomery is a distinguished research professor of philosophy at Concordia University, Wisconsin. He's a French advocate, a barrister at law in England and Wales, a member of the bar of the Supreme Court of the United States, director of the International Academy of Apologetics, Evangelism, and Human Rights, and author and editor of more than 50 books, including Christ to Center and Circumference. He joined us live from France. Dr. Montgomery, thank you very much for being our guest.
You're very welcome.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. Ken Schur, part 32 of our series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking about Luther as pastor. Stay tuned. There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org.
Do you have skills as a coder, designer, writer, marketer, project manager, or are interested in building websites? Do you want to help the church proclaim Christ and Him crucified to the digital world that we live in? If yes, you should join our WordSites team. WordSites is a group of tech-savvy volunteers who help fellow Lutheran organizations build effective websites. Plus, we have fun while we're doing it. To submit your name or to learn more, visit WordSites.org. WordSites, your confessional Lutheran website. Reformed.
Emmanuel means God with us. God is with us at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School at 1285 Main Street in Hamilton, Ohio, near Cincinnati. God is with us as we gather on Sunday at 8 and 10:45 a.m. for divine service. God with us in His word of forgiveness, with us in the waters of baptism, with us in the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion, with us in the classrooms of our school and child care, serving children from age 3 to 8th grade. Join us for worship or enroll your child in our Christ-centered day school. Find us at emmanuelhamilton.com.
Temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod celebrates and affirms life from the time of conception until natural death, and every time in between. For this reason, LCMS Life Ministry is a program singularly devoted to upholding the sanctity of human life, both in our church body and the culture at large. Life Ministry provides educational materials, hosts conferences, and works closely with allies such as Lutherans for Life. For more information, visit lcms.org/life and follow LCMS Life Ministry on Facebook.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.